This is CICK News. In Hazleton this past week and weekend, Rachel Jans held a hide tanning workshop at the Learning Center on Omnica Street in Old Hazleton. Rachel is from Gitxsan territory, but lives in Saskatchewan now. Her father is celebrated Gitxsan carver Phil Jans, and so art, historically informed practices, and beauty are in her blood. During the Pioneer Days parade in Hazleton on the last day of her workshop, I stopped in during a show-and-tell portion of her class. When I arrived, Louise, a student of hers, was showing off her sockeye hide that she had worked on during the week.
What we do at first, we started to do the front to take all the, what do you call that,
scales.
You know, you have, and brush all the, like there's still some meat left on there.
I used to scrape.
A big spoon.
Oh,
but you're gentle
you
with it.
Okay.
But I've never seen skin so strong in my life. And now I know why they survive in the water.
This was a big thing in like ancient.
And I kept with the spoon. You gotta hold it like that. See, there's still more. I know there is.
Tell her what it tasted like.
I don't know. It tastes very funny. Very funny, but kind of hot and cold. You know, I was going like this. You get dried out the mouth.
So that is how they used to test the tannin to see how strong it was. Is the more it dried your mouth out, the stronger the tannin was.
Okay. Rachel has studied with a variety of hide tanning teachers and is relatively new to the practice. But after accepting the challenge to teach a 13-week graduate-level course at First Nations University of Canada, focusing on bark tanning methods, she has now tanned animal hides from elk and bison all the way to mice and other little creatures.
Is this a little lamb?
That's a baby goat.
A baby goat.
Sometimes when they're born at the wrong time of year, especially I've been living out in the prairies, they freeze to death. And so the ranchers call me and I come and pick them up and then I skin them and they make beautiful leather. So there's like four main different types of natural tanning. One is using plant tannins with barks and leaves and roots.
Oh my gosh, that smells so good.
Doesn't it? Yeah. So real leather, that's where it gets its smell from, is the plants that it's tanned with.
Tannins are the medicine or biomolecules found in plants. They're what heals a tree if it's been damaged and are known for their ability to bind with proteins or other organic compounds. They naturally occur and are an astringent, which creates a puckering sensation in your mouth, and the tannin's natural extract from bark or leaves, such as in this case, transform animal hides into usable leather.
Most of the leather we have today is not tanned like this. It's tanned using chrome or chromium, which is like really harmful to the environment. They started using that process during the Industrial Revolution, and it was to keep up with the demand for leather. Whereas if you look at the old school leather like this, that's all naturally done. They're finding samples that have survived over 1,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah. They call it a living leather because it changes as it ages. I've got poplar here, which I boiled from the bark. And also some from leaves. And then this one is spruce. This is horse chestnuts, which I've never worked with before, but they're really quite high in tannins. This is willow leaves, and this is willow bark. And this is a commercial tannin that we'll do that fish skin in.
Okay.
But mostly I've been working with commercial tannins up to now. So being able to come home and work with the plants here, I'm able to start going right to the source. So it's like you can have leathers that are more made out of plant than they are of animal. It's like this incredible science that our ancestors knew about. And you kind of wonder what it was, how they discovered this and how they explored this. This type of tanning, natural tanning, is something that happens all over the world. This week there was some people who were interested, especially when we did the fish leather on Tuesday. It's like, fish leather? We can make leather from fish?
So because this is audio, can you explain what you're doing and what I'm looking at?
So this is a completely rinsed sockeye hide. We took all the meat and fat off the back, and then we cleaned up the back, and then we did a bunch of rinsing on it. And so now what I'm doing is just squeeze some of the water out of it. So I'm just putting this hide into the tannin, and I'm just like draping it into this jar, pulling it up and down, and I'm going to fully submerge it in there. And throughout the course of up to 10 days, I will check it, and I will do what Louise was doing, is scrape the back of the hide, just to open it up and stretch it, release some of the membrane that wants to come off. Mm-hmm. And it just allows the tannins to get thoroughly into the skin.
And 10 days is about typical for...
It really depends on the tannin and the hide. Like, if I'm tanning a moose hide, that could take months.
Rachel was also smoke tanning a hide and showed me a deer hide that she was preparing that was kept in a large Ziploc bag.
So it's just a chunk of deer, but this has actually been put in an oil emulsion, which is a totally different type of tan. And it's you know, to make buckskin. Mm-hmm. And it makes a totally different kind of leather. And it's really what you're doing with this one is not a chemical change to the hide. It's a physical change to the hide, where you're surrounding the protein molecules with oil so that they can slide past each other, basically. And it keeps it soft and supple.
Yeah.
This type of leather is in many ways a lot more labor intensive. This is probably the oldest kind of leather that we have record of. And it's like back to the Paleolithic times, right? So 400,000 years ago, people were making this kind of leather.
What oil?
This one, I think I used olive oil.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, feel free to stretch it. You'll see that it's like...
Oh, whoa, that's like really... It's very eager to stretch. Do you find that... Is it like an upswing in interest for tanning? Like young people who want to like maybe start homesteading or anything like that?
I've had many, many teachers. I think... You know, it is a very community-driven activity. It's been a little over a year since I've been really hardcore doing this. But all the time, I'm finding more and more people who are engaged with this. I've set up at a few different events here this summer, and the kids are just so into it. Out in Kimika with some high tanner friends of mine and teachers, we were working with the kids, and it was like they were lined up for a carnival. They were like, they all wanted to work on a hide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I think about my teachers, one of my biggest teachers has been the hides themselves, the plants themselves. That's one thing I really like about high tanning. Is this is, you know, it's something that crosses all cultures.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to connect people and have people work together and, you know, celebrate all cultural histories.
Thank you to artist and educator Rachel Jans for bringing this ancestral practice to the community of Hazleton on Gitxsan territory, and to Brenda Barrett for making the learning shop an available and welcoming space to the public. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.